Hallelujah. You know, and you know, we're people that have to be. Once you get established in the faith, you must maintain faith. You know, because you got the world, you got the flesh, you got the enemy, the devil, but he has nothing on it. But if I was going to title the sermon, it would be part two of "You Can Recover All," part two. And I can't preach the same sermon, but I only got into a little bit. But I want to bring up the Holy Spirit again. So, and I know I feel the Lord in the place, the Holy Spirit. And we're going to leave here changed. I'm not going to leave here the same way I came in. I came expecting the Lord to touch me, to move on me. I come and worshiped Him. And I expect Him to give me wisdom and impartation and revelation through this service. I come to serve Him. And as we serve Him, then He ministers to us, praise the Lord. But you know, I want to talk about the Holy Spirit a little bit, because the Holy Spirit is not a it. He's not a dove. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is here. Jesus told the disciples, He said, "I got to go, but I'm going to send somebody. I'm going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit." Now, they didn't really understand that at that time. But He was telling them, "I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and He's going to teach you all things." He said, and He's going to bring into remembrance. He's talking to them, and they'd been walking with Jesus for 3 years and hearing Him teach the Beatitudes and minister, and been watching Him heal and all of that stuff, you know. And He told them, He said, "I'm going to send the Comforter," which is the Holy Spirit. He said, and when He comes, He said, He's going to teach you all things. And He's going to bring back to your remembrance the things that I have said to you. And I realized not too long in my walk with the Lord that I needed to learn how to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I learned that God is on the throne, right? And Jesus is sitting at His right hand according to Scripture, right? And then the Holy Spirit was sent here by Jesus, and it was the same Holy Spirit that led Jesus. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. Jesus operated. Jesus said, "The works that I do are not of myself," but the Holy Spirit began to demonstrate the kingdom of God through Jesus. Jesus stripped Himself of being God, and became a man just like me and you. And that, you know, at one time I thought, well, I don't know if I can do these things, because that was Jesus. But see, Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. He was God being made known in the flesh man. The reason why I say that, because the Scripture says that He told the disciples, He said, "If you have seen Me, then you have seen the Father." Right? The Bible says that He was the Word. Jesus was the Word before He come down here and was made flesh, according to John 1:1. John 1. "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then it says, and He came and became flesh and dwelt among us, the only begotten. That's talking about Jesus. Now, Jesus' ministry didn't start until He was around 30 years old. Jesus didn't do no miracles up till He was 30 years old. That is when he was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River, the Bible says then that the Holy Spirit came on Him. Right? And then the Lord said, "This is My Son in whom I'm well." And after that point, I believe that that's when He got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I believe that's when the Spirit... Now, when He told the disciples, He said, "Go." He said, "This guy's going to come." And He is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. It's not an it. It's not a weird thing. He's the one. When you read that Bible and you get light, He showed you. Amen. He showed you. He brought it to light. He made it real. He made it real to you. If you've been born again, He made it real to you that Jesus Christ was and is the Son of the living God. The Holy Spirit took the Scriptures, somebody preached them to you or you read them or whatever might have happened, and He made Jesus Christ real to you. Amen. He's the same one that is walking with us today. He is in us. He leads us if we let Him. Bible said, Paul told him, said in Romans 8 and 14, he says, those that are led, those that are open to, those that are willing to yield to. The word led means to be open to the Lord. What's your name? Timo. Just like he goes around trying to find his own job. He goes around trying to find his own job. And then all of a sudden, the Lord says, the Holy Spirit, that was the Holy Spirit, and He will only glorify and speak of what the will of God is for you, to you. He will reveal God's will to you. In every arena of life, He will reveal the will of God to you. It's God's will that you know His will. Well, then all of a sudden He gets up here and He's headed home, and it comes to Him again. Why not just go over there? Well, He's done being 8 or 9 years. You hear me? He's done being 8 or 9 years. Maybe He couldn't get on down there because He wouldn't be faithful. I don't know. I have no idea. Because the Bible says to put mine and your trust in an unfaithful man is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Cause you some pain, right? Well, all of a sudden, Demo, a week or so ago, repents, gets back right with the Lord, gives his heart to the Lord, and then he begins to see this Holy Spirit, whether he realizes it or not, begin to bring forth and maneuver things to bring out the will of God. And then he says, let's go, I'll go back down there. And he's kind of upset at them. He's mad at them because they didn't hire him. He's all of that. And he says, well, what's the worst thing can happen? They say, no. He goes up there. He's there 2 minutes. He's kind of stern with them, blah, 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 blah. And they say, well, we can start you tomorrow. Now he's got to go turn in a notice. How many of those Christians ought to turn in a notice? You ought to be dependable. And now he started to work there. But you know what? That's not even over. This is the Holy Spirit. Now, we have got to be aware of the Holy Spirit. I've seen this family go through some trials. Every one of us in here, we don't have to have a pat on the back. You know, all of us has went through trials, went through the fire. And if you've been serving God, even if you ain't been serving God, you went through some hell. Amen? Can I get amen? But there's a difference after we give our heart to Jesus Christ when we go through the fire, through the flood, because then He promised in Psalm 66:12, you might be going through the fire and the flood. He said, but I brought you out to a wealthy, an abundant place. Family restored. You can recover all. Praise God. It's not just up to God. God's give us the reins to this drive, man. I mean, He's given us His Word. I'm real big in myself as putting God's Word first place and final authority in my life. Let me give you a little example of that. I'm reading that Bible, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit, I didn't know about the Holy Spirit, Mac, at this time I'm talking about. I didn't know. But He was still working whether we knew or not. Amen? But He leads people, what they don't know how to be led yet. He's just got that unique way. He is a counselor. I mean, He's a trained one. I mean, He hears from heaven, bless God, and He brings that eternal Word into our heart. Whatever it is, it might not even be the Bible. But it's eternal Word. I mean, it wasn't in the scrolls when Jesus told Peter, come. Ain't nowhere in the scrolls. Ain't nowhere in Isaiah and all of them that I've read. Jesus is going to come, walk out on the water and all that and tell Him to come and He's going to see a miracle. Right? He spoke the Word of God. The Holy Spirit speaks the Word. Go to guardrail. That's the Word of the Lord. Amen? And the more we are you, the more we get used to yielding and relying on the Holy Spirit to reveal the will of God and to strengthen us, the more aware we will become of Him. And the more aware that we become of Him, the more that we don't hit and miss. I seen Johnny almost turned into a white boy one time. I mean, a boy wears, what size did you start out wearing? 32s. I guarantee you could have got into some 30s fasting. I seen him start going through fire, and I seen him push further in the Lord. I seen him not back. We all seen him. We didn't know his deal. We didn't know what he was. We just knew, you know, that he's going through. Hallelujah. And we and you see him come and attentive to the Word of God, reminding me of those in there when they went down and. And I, the prophet, what was his name? Gideon. I mean, they're outnumbered. I mean, they're way outnumbered. And the Lord told him, he said, go down. He said, and while they're drinking, he said, watch them. He said, you watch them. He said, the ones that are watching, whenever they drink, he said, though choose those. He said, the ones that are not watching, he said, send them home. And it dwindled down to 300. 300. You know, when I began to study that, and man, I mean, they slew them armies and all their allies with 300 men. And I thought, and the Lord told me, he said, watch. He said, I want you watching and praying so that you don't enter into temptation. Right? We're going to be tempted. I thought about the youth and all of that, and Travis when he was 14 or 15, listen to me, I'm not an old man. I know God. You know God. We know God. Your parents know God. And they're absolutely trying to find and walk in the will of God for you. And so Travis, he gets to thinking the enemy, you know, trying to pull him out, and he's 14, 15 years old, and he's saying, when I get old enough, I'm moving out, blah, blah, blah. And I'm there before the Lord, and I'm just going about my normal day, Mac, you know, and I'm talking to my God about my son that has the potential to go out in the world and lose the salvation that God has brought into his life, and world pull him out and lose him and no relationship with it. That would be terrible. And so anyhow, I got the back blower on, and I'm blowing the leaves, and I'm talking to God. And I said, God, you said, I'm reminding him of his word that I've stood on. It's all I'm doing. God, you told me to do this, and I did what I felt you wanted me to do throughout his life, Lord. I might have made a lot of mistakes, God, but I wanted to make sure that he knew how to walk with you when he left me. That was what was important to me. Not preaching to him. I mean, I did. We fasted at our house every week. We didn't make him do without food, Johnny, but we made him do without place, whatever he had. You're fasting. And we read the Bible every night. We'd read it. He spent a lot of time hunting the shortest book in the Bible. He probably, I don't know, I didn't even know it was the shortest book, but he knew we were going to have to read it, so he goes in there in the Bible and goes and finds the shortest chapter in the Bible. And I'm like, I wonder how long it took him. But you know what? He put notes all through the house, Preston. He put them in there. And my emotions wanted to get involved. But my man part of me and my love for God and him, I wouldn't yield to my emotions. But he put it on there, and we'd get up. He wouldn't tell us, but I'd get up, and there'd be one on a heater. I hate fasting. There's one on the refrigerator. I hate fasting. There's one on the wall. I hate fasting. Going into the, I hate fasting. You know, and I thought, I didn't ask him if he hated fasting, Lord. He don't understand now, Lord, but just like they didn't when they went to Jesus, they said, why does your disciples not fast? And we have to fast. And he said, well, while they're with me, they don't have to fast, but there'll come a time when I'm gone and they'll need to fast. Well, he don't fast as much as he ought to, but I think he does it occasionally. But you know what? I'm telling you, I believe that I was led as a father by the Lord to do that. I didn't need agreement from the world. I didn't need agreement from my mama. I didn't need agreement from my sisters and brothers. I'm walking with God. You're walking with God, Johnny. I might not agree that you needed to fast that long and your britches fall off. But I never said nothing to Johnny. I stood behind Johnny and I said, God, he's fasting and praying for a breakthrough, for a move of you, God. And I'm serving you, God, and I know, God, I've been through some of these troubled waters, God, and didn't understand and felt confused and felt like I wasn't going to make it out and felt like I hung on to you and believed that your word was true, God, that you said that if I would put you first, that I would not lose my brothers, mothers, fathers, sisters, but I would gain 100-fold. Y'all read it? See, that word first plagues final authority, Mac. When you get in there like y'all went through and all of that stuff, praise God, and that word says no weapons formed against you will prosper. It might not mean nothing to that guy sitting over yonder that ain't never been through and needed a desperate move of God, but he can hang on and he can watch us and he can find. Mac said it. I watched y'all go through them trials, and I watched y'all stand strong. And he was a young Christian at that time and didn't know nothing, I guess, too much about the Bible and walking with God and all of that. He's way more wise now, but he's a happy, joyous, prosperous man. And I'm going to put Psalms 1 up and show you why. I put it up there, Beth. The Holy Spirit. Go in there and read about him. He shows up in the book of Acts and come down in there and fill them all with the Holy Ghost. Come down like cloven tongues of fire and fill the house. Well, how many knows we're the house? And we're filled with that power. The Bible says the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me and you. That's the Holy Spirit. That's it? No, we'll get to that later. We're not going to prosper right now. Psalms 1. I'm sorry. Okay, I didn't. It was on the very back. It's okay, Beth. Just put it up there. Psalms 1, 1 through 3. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor walks, sits in the seat with the sinners, or sits in the seat with the scornful, the scoffer. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man that reverences God and standeth not in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. There's a lot that scorns the church today and Christians and sees us as weak and all of that. Well, we're going to show them our God. We're going to show them the God that we serve. We might walk around and seem all normal and seem like, you know, things, this and that, but when it comes down and it begins to work, try to work on us, the God on the inside of us rises up and said, here's the power. Right here, it's in you. When you need it, but God, you might have to fast and stand and believe God and keep coming to church. They kept coming to church and stayed connected. They stayed connected with the will of God. And today you can see the whole family is sitting in church today, bless the Lord. I told Ty, I said, ooh, you're so cute. I said, man, if I wasn't a married man, you'd be in danger. He is a good looking guy. Praise the Lord. He kind of looks like me when I was young. Oh, but I told Travis, I told him, I'm sitting there and I'm talking to the Lord and the Holy Spirit, come back on Travis now, and the Holy Spirit come to me and just showed up and he said, I want you to tell him that he's not in bondage. Tell him that he's already free and Satan is trying to take him into bondage. He said, tell him. And I said, yes, sir. He didn't say explain it, drill it. He just said, go tell him. So next chance I got, I told Travis, I said, son, I didn't say the Lord showed up to me. And the Lord said, no, if the Lord told you, just spit it out. Because whatever God said, power. He said his word will not return void. He didn't tell me to go preaching. He said, tell him what I said. I said, yes, sir. So I went and I told Travis, I said, son, I said, listen, I said, you're already free. Well, he don't want to go to bed at 9, wants to stay up to 10, wants to stay out to 12 on the midnight hour out there. I mean, you know, he don't feel free. I don't feel free, Johnny. I got to go to work tomorrow. Freedom would be like, God, I'm off the rest of my life, laying in bed and do what I want to do. But I'm actually excited to go to work tomorrow. I got my health. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm more than a conqueror. You're more. But anyhow, I go tell Travis. I told him, I said, son, I said, listen, the enemy, I said, he's trying to make you feel like you're not free. I told him, I said, look, son, I said, I know it seems we don't let you do a lot of things. I said, but everybody's not going where you're going. And you know what? That brought peace to him. Now, he still wanted to go and get on there and ask them little girls, is your legs tired? You've been running through my mind and all of that garbage. I'm telling on him. He shouldn't have done it. Well, he's messing with them little girls and going with her, going with Beth. And I told him, I said, I'm fixing to tell her. I said, you're not going to do that little girl like that now. Well, is that godly or not? Right? What am I supposed to tell him? Understand. Ooh, get you three of them before you get married. Oh, just experience it. No, that's stupid. Right? See, I'm telling him, I'm going to tell her. You're not going to do that. You're not going to hurt her. You're not going to tear her heart out. You're not going to, I threatened him. And I mean, I'm going to tell Nemo, if you're married and you're flirting with somebody, I'm going to tell you right quick. I'm going to tell your wife. I just can't help it. God's making me. Johnny would be like, you wouldn't do it. No, I want to keep Samantha. No, Lord. Oh, Pastor, please, I beg you. Oh, if I needed to, I would, though. Why? Because I love Johnny. I love his family. I love his walk with God and all of that, seeing him come up and fight his battles and all of that and come out. Thank you, Lord, you've given us the Word here. We're blessed with the Word of God in this place. I mean, we're blessed with it. We're blessed to find out that we, but our delight is in the law, the Word of the Lord. And in His law do we meditate day and night every day. Thank you, Lord, you are my shepherd. I shall not want, Psalms 23:1. Lord, you are today my shepherd, I shall not want. You make me lie down. Delight in that. Delight in that word. And he tells you what will happen. But his delight is in the word of the Lord, and he does meditate. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the scripture says that we won't even see when drought comes. 2001, we had a thing going on. I don't know what it was and all of that stuff, you know, but I'm not watching the news and stuff at that time. I don't really have time, Johnny, because I got church three times a week, you know, and I got jail ministries after church, two of them, the county and the city in Coleman. And then on Thursday nights, I had the jail ministry. And then when it got cold, I had the street ministry. So I really didn't have time to watch all of that stuff, the news and all of that. And so anyways, I'm making a point. You know, I'm so caught up in the Word and what God's doing in my life and what He's doing and seeking the Lord and fasting and praying, you know, and all of that, you know, till somebody asked me somewhere about mid or late 2001. They asked me, they said, hey, I don't know, they didn't say famine, the recession. They said, has the recession affected you? And I looked at them and I said, what recession? And they said, you didn't know about it? I said, no, I just found out about it. You just told me. I said, you know what? I didn't even know we had one. And I mean, whenever he said that and I turned away, the Lord said, you did not even see the heat when it come, like I told you in my word. I took that word and I delighted in it. I said, I'm not going to see the heat when it comes. I'm not going to see the famine, the spiritual famine. God spoke to me, and I'm telling you, he told me, see, I was taught by the church and church people that had their experience and told their experience instead of what the Word said, not meaning to, just out of their experience, you know, and I believed that you had to go through dry places. Y'all quiet because you're learning. The Lord spoke to me one day and He said, you never have to be spiritually dry. And I said, well, I need some scripture for that, Lord. Oh, help me, Lord. I need some scripture for that, Lord. He told that woman that the well, He said, you drank this natural water. He carried me to the scriptures later. A little time later, I said, I need proof of that, Lord. I need the truth in here. I need it here. Because I'd heard contrary to that. I'd heard about dry places and you're going to go through dry places. And Jesus was in the desert. Ain't nowhere in that desert Jesus was dry. Jesus withstood the temptations in that desert when the enemy come. Jesus did not yield to the enemy in that He was not dry on the inside. He might have been facing stuff and no food and all that on the outside, but Jesus was strong on the inside, and the Bible says that He came out of that dry place in the Spirit of the Lord, in the power of the Holy Spirit. He told that woman, he said, if you drink this natural water, He said, you will thirst. He said, but if you drink this water, and you're drinking of it right now, when you give your heart to Jesus, you started drinking out of a different well that we're drinking, Christians. I'm talking about Christians. Not special Christians. I'm talking about Christians. Not big, strong, faith-filled Christians. I'm talking about believers. I'm talking about you ain't got to be head deep in faith. Just be ankle deep in humility towards God. Just be humble to the Lord. Willing to yield to the Holy Spirit. Willing. I told Teresa this evening, I told her, I said, I think we need to tag team tonight. And I was just messing with her, Mac. You know, like, I preach a minute, go by and slap her hand. She preaches a little and then come back and slap mine. We preaching. She said, nah. She said, that won't work. She said, because when I get started, I can't stop. And I said, well, you just stood up in Sunday school and told us that the spirit of a prophet is subject to the prophet. Did you not teach us that? Now, we were being funny, you know. We were just being funny. Yeah. I mean, it ain't a drag to come here to me, man. You ain't got to drag me here, but God, the Holy Spirit's here. God meets us here. Why would I not want to go where God meets me? Man, you set a time to pray in the morning or read your Bible, and God, He just meets you right there. And He says, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. He said, and then the Lord carried me the scripture where it says, you will draw out of the wells of salvation. The Lord told me, He said, you can drink any time you want a drink. He said, I've not been dry. Only time I got dry is when I backslid. Other than that, man, get my mind on my cares and all of that stuff and feeling like nothing's going to work out and all of that and ain't feeling that hope, you got to drink. You got to draw. You got to fast. You got to pray then. You got to draw out of the wells. He didn't say go over there and speak to the well. Go over there and have faith and speak to it. Rise up, O well. No, He said draw. We had to draw Preston out of the well one time because he's acting like a monkey over the well. Ain't that true? Carolyn and them out there on the mules out there, and old Preston, he's over there going to show all our nieces and nephews how he can do flips on the out over the well thing that we draw water out of that well. We didn't have running water in our house. We drew it out of the well and out of the spring. And so he's up there. No, he's flipping. He's probably about 5'6". We're young. And then all of a sudden, crash. And I'm like, oh, my God. Hey, he fell in. He fell in the well. Well, we thought it was funny. You get hurt, we're like Aiden. We think it's funny. You just smash your finger half off, and he'll lay down and laugh. Terrible. Carolyn has to come, and he gets in a little gallon bucket. Got knots all over his head because it was rocks all the way down. So we got to draw out of the wells of salvation. Praying, fasting, seeking the Lord, hallelujah, for the will of... He said, if you will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth fruit in his season, you need faith, it'll rise, Preston, in the season. If I need love, it's there if I've developed it. I have it on the inside of me. Romans 5:5 said the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by what? The Holy Spirit. Right? He's already put God in us. God is love. And you know what? Some people, they try to forgive themselves. I mean, I did that. I mean, I'm like, oh, I got to forgive myself, man. I mean, I got to forgive myself. And I don't know how to forgive myself, Eddie. I don't have the ability. Because Satan comes and he's like, oh, you did that. And oh, you did that. And boy, you did that and that and that and that. And you did that. And all of a sudden, you know, I mean, the Lord just spoke this to me a couple, 3 weeks ago. But I had forgotten things behind. I'd use that scripture. Paul says, forgetting those things behind and press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God that is in Jesus Christ. And so I took that scripture and I forgot about all the things that I did back before I got born again. I put them behind me, burned the bridges, and considered them dead. Hallelujah. I considered myself alive unto God. Raised from the dead. Hallelujah. But the Lord told me, 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I brought it here to set it. You know, some people try to forgive themselves, but you don't have to. You have been forgiven. And if you've got things right now that is not under the blood of Jesus Christ that can come and torment you and wish you hadn't have done and wish you had done different, wish you hadn't have done that, the Bible said that He is righteous. If you will ask Him to forgive you, He will cleanse you from that unrighteousness. And then, I mean, you can do that, I mean, just instantly in your heart, no matter where you're at, you can do that, and He is faithful to His Word. And then you can pick up and say, glory to God, it's just like it never happened. Now I'm going to walk on with you, God. I'm going to walk on. I'm going to do the things that I know to be the will of God. How many knows that's all God wants, requires of you, is for you to do what you know is His will at the moment where you're living. That's all. He don't require anything else of me or you. Hallelujah. Now you can recover. That I preached it, I guess it was Sunday, about David. You know, the psalmist David. He's the one with that famous scripture in Psalms 27:13 that I've used for 30 years. I mean, knows the Word of God's alive. But the psalmist David, he said in that one verse, Psalms 27:13, he said, I would have fainted, Monty. I would have given up. I would have quit. I would have quit on my marriage. I would have quit on my relationship with my family. I would have quit lest I believe to see the goodness of God in my marriage, in my finances, in my business, in this ministry. That's what David said. He said, I would have fainted. I would have plumb lost heart unless I... You see, you can't quit believing. You believe to see God's goodness to get yourself out of debt. You believe to see the goodness of God. The Lord told me this evening, He said, son, He said, you don't hardly ever get sick. I said, no, I reject it. I said, every time it tries to come to me, I reject it. I mean, shingles broke out on me and stayed a day and a half once I got a name for it.
She said, "You want to get the shingles shot?" And
I started to tell her, I got a shot that's way better than that. I got a gospel shot. I got the Word of God. The Word, the Bible, see, I got that from the Bible. The Bible says the Word of God is medicine to Scotty's flesh, to all your flesh. It don't say all your spirit, right? He says that the Word of God is medicine to all my flesh. I said, "No, Lord, I don't." I said, "Because I clean my medicine cabinet out when I used to plan on it happening every now and then." And I went and cleaned it out and said, "Nope, I'm not planning on getting sick no more." So I got rid of my Tylenol, got rid of this way back in the 30s. Back then I was brave, Preston. What am I going to do? Get up here older and say, "Well, it ain't going to work like it used to." He don't change. The Word don't change. The Holy Spirit don't change. God don't sleep or slumber. He's not weak concerning have or fail concerning His promises that is in that Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Bless God, He's more determined today that the body of Christ is going to be glorious. Glorious means, bless God, you're in the kingdom. You're going to walk in divine health. I mean, your body tells you arthritis is getting you and blah, blah, blah. And you don't go set in jacks down there with all them that's got all their ankles and their knees and all their head hurting and all of that. And don't sit in that council. Because they'll tell you, somebody told me the other day, he said, "Well, Miles has got dimmer. How old are you?" And I said, "I'm 58. He said, "Well, you're going to find out." And I turned, walked off. And I said, "I'm not finding nothing he's got." But God, I'm not sitting in that council. I didn't go preaching Jesus to that dude. It's just every bullet that's fired at you, you don't have to take it. See, now those thoughts will come to your mind. It may not be that. Maybe something else. Maybe finances. Maybe whatever it is. To make you believe that you can't do, but the Bible says me and you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. We're not on our own. If we're putting our trust in Him, we're relying on Him, we're waiting on Him, we're acknowledging Him in all of our ways, the Bible says He'll direct us. He will cause us to know. I'm believing everybody connected to this church all over the world. We're not a small church. You're looking in the natural. We're all over the planet. Your brothers and sisters are all over the planet. The church is humongous. I mean, if you just had them all together at one time and up yonder in a plane, you probably couldn't see the end of the body of Christ if they was all gathered together here on this planet. And we are supposed to be going and winning the rest of them. We're supposed to be going. We are. We're doing it. He shall be like a tree planted. Give me the Psalms 112. I got a few minutes. You in a hurry? I got to work tomorrow too. Praise the Lord. But you know what? If He keeps me up till 12, I still at 5 do all things through Christ, right? He didn't say if you got your 8 hours, you can do it. He said you believe me if you get 4. Now, I'm not going to be like the Apostle Paul preached to midnight. He preached all night, actually. But there's a difference when you're under the power and just rambling. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed. You know what that word blessed? Anybody know what it means? Empowered to prosper. Happy. Favored. Fortunate is this. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that reverences God and delights greatly in His Word. You put the Word of God, I mean very important, not religiously. Religious people don't get no power from God. People that can quote your scripture and tear you up from the floor up, usually they ain't got no power. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. I didn't write it, but it tells me, make sure I'm not like that. Having a form, but not walking with Him. Like Mac, "This is genuine, I'm your brother for eternity." You're stuck with me forever. That's, he means it. Because he knows a little bit what Scripture says. When we leave here, we're all going to gather in heaven. Right? So she, you're stuck with him for real. But everything's not going to be like it is here. We're going to take on that new body. I mean, we're going to take on that that's going to live in forever. Hallelujah. Don't you fear death here. Don't you fear death. For you to die is gain. I know Paul said it, but what do you say? Paul knew it. What do you know? Do you really know it on the inside? Have you let God's Word and the Holy Spirit really convince you that to die is gain? Hallelujah. Have you? Are you really convinced? Now, I'm not in a hurry to go, Mac. We're going to labor down here together because we got a purpose. And we're supposed to live long, satisfied, not long, weak, you know, burnt out. You can't get burnt out if you walk in the Spirit. If you walk with God in the Spirit, you cannot get burnt out in your marriage. You won't. I mean, it's endless supply of power to the Christian that'll take God's Word and delight in it. An endless supply of power. An endless supply. I was sitting getting a haircut. Look, man, I mean, if I'd talked any more about the Lord, I would be naked headed. Dude, I would have to shave like Timo. I mean, that's the longest haircut Mac ever got. I got her started talking about the Lord. And I mean, she got the scissors and cut me with it. Now, she's been cutting my hair a long time. Don't never do this much. And she cut with the scissor. Then she went over there. She's all excited. She come over and, am I going to do the will of God in front of me? And I'm like, man, come on, cut my hair. Yeah. And so then she goes around. She cuts them with the scissors. Then I think she forgot. I don't like this the clippers on my hair. Look, I look like I'm short. So anyways, then she comes with them. And then she got all excited, went and laid it down, got the scissors again. I'm like, oh my God. 35 minutes went by, and I'm like, this is the longest haircut I've ever had in my life. Praise God. I started to tell her, are you getting a little short, or? I mean, there's a lot of hair laying down here, you know. And then I thought, oh well, it'll grow back. It'll grow back. You know, it'll grow back. Hallelujah. But you know what? Praise the Lord. I left out there and I thought, I'm favored, bless God. I might be bald-headed, but I'm favored by the Lord, according to the Word of God. But He says, blessed, praise you the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, delighteth greatly in His commandments. His seed shall be weak. What did it say? I didn't write that. Your God did. I'm not supposed to be weak. You're not supposed to be weak. You stay out of that mind, that carnal mind, and let your inner, Proverbs 18:14 says, the strong spirit of the man will sustain him when sickness attacks, will sustain him when his marriage is attacked, will sustain him when the temptation comes. Right? His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright, that's me and you. We have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He said the generation of the upright shall be broke. What did your Bible say? Say it. Some of you can't say it. Blessed. Well, what is blessed? John 10:10 explains it this way after and he fulfilled it. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Anytime you see stealing, killing, and destroying in your life, think thief. And then the next part, Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I looked up the word abundantly 28 years ago and it says the same thing now. It says, to the full, till it overflows, nothing missing, nothing broken in your life. At that time, I don't feel like no kind of a warrior. At that time, I don't feel like that I can have a full life like that. I looked at that and I thought, is this possible? Is this possible for me to have this? A life to where everything, I got plenty of faith, plenty of peace, plenty of joy, plenty of strength, hallelujah. Liking my job. I couldn't see it in here, Mac. But I thought, bless God, that's what the Scripture says. So I went around saying this, wealth and riches is in my house. Wealth and riches is in my house. And my right standing with God endures forever. The righteousness endures forever. Hallelujah. So I went around, I didn't have a house. I'm telling you something. I didn't have a house. But I went around saying, when my house comes, I'm going to have nice stuff in my house. Wealth and riches. The church is against this. Some of them's against it. Just like I'm sitting there getting a haircut today, and she said, well, I don't think we're supposed to have a lot of money. I said, where'd you get that? What Bible did you get that out of? I said, that's not in mine. I said, how can I give somebody $100 if I don't have it? How can I buy somebody's groceries if I don't? Now I said, now I know what the Bible says. It says for me not to put my trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. I said, I know what the Scripture says when he was telling the disciples how hard it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. I said, but he goes on down there. He said, to those that put their trust in it. I said, my church feeds the hungry. I said, they clothe the maybe not naked. I don't know nobody naked today, man. I ain't seen anybody naked down there. And I told her, I said, well, you know what? I said, the issue that God has with this is he don't need a broke church. Not your church, not my church, not your people in your church, and not my people in my church. I said, my church is not broke, and they're not going to be broke. My church has never been broke and never will be broke. I said, but I can tell you what I don't do is put my trust in that money or in those people to get that money there. My trust is in the God that I serve. It's in the God that I serve. I said, you know what? I said, the box truck that we had to buy, the insurance that we had to buy, the offerings we give for the food. I said, we reach 300 or 400 people a month. I said, in the labor that the people, I was talking about y'all faithful folk that does the laboring. I said, see, they come down there. I said, a lot of people, I said, and that's the way it should be. I said, they see the glory. I said, but they don't see the working. They eat of the glory that God uses us. I said, and we serve him with gladness. I said, we serve him with, we do those boxes with gladness that God's using us. I told her, I said, well, see, I said, too much in the Scripture where God's people is supposed to have in abundance. Jesus died for it. He died and hung on the cross. And you know, one of my doctors down there said, well, look, you know, you're probably qualified for disability. I said, I can't afford disability. I just come back to the doctor and I said, I can't afford disability. What do you mean you can't afford disability? I said, I got to make too much. Little did I know, like Jesus said when he turned the water into wine, when I was saying that stuff, I was broke. I owed $130,000 doctor hospital bill. My mind was telling me to take you the rest of your life to pay that off because I pay my bills. I believe God to help me pay my bills. He pays them for me. Well, anyhow, I'll leave there, you know, but you know, I went on and I believed God. Now, some of y'all sitting here today, you don't believe miracles work. I'm telling you, I'm fixing to tell you about a miracle that happened a few years ago that still works today that I have believed for 30 years that he's not a God that has lost his power. He's not a God that says it worked back under, but this is a big one. How many knows Goliath wasn't big to David because he done went and killed a bear and a lion by the power of God? He done went and killed a bear and a lion, and he goes up and tells Saul, listen, man, I done killed a bear and a lion. I went and paid for a divorce before I got saved. Borrowed the money from Jack. I don't know if Preston remembers it or not. It was over. We'd separated $875,000 probably. I don't know how many times we'd, you know, over 7 years. And I went and paid making $25, $35 a week payments on that. And right before we had to go get signed it off or whatever, we got together, back together the next day. And you know what? The lawyer wouldn't give me my money back where I could pay the debt. I asked him, man, you give my money back. Man, you ain't done nothing. He said, no, you signed a deal. You made a deal. You backed out of it. I didn't back out. He didn't pay me. I thought then when I find that lawyer out, I'm going to blow him out. If I can go steal daddy's gun, I'm going to shoot him. I didn't have a gun. Well, I get born again, you know. And so what I'm saying is, God redeemed my marriage. I paid for the divorce I never got. I made payments on it. Paid for a divorce. I got born again, and I thought I paid for one I'll never get. I'll never get a divorce. If that woman right there gets a divorce, she'll just have to get it on her own. I hate divorce. I'm like God, and I will not do it. Why? I delight in the Word of God. Right? I delight in it. Now, some of y'all, you've got divorced and all that. Don't take nothing that I'm saying. That's none of my business. The Word says what it says, and I'm not going to change if the world crumbles. Right? You don't either. You make it, you go around saying, the generation of the upright God, that's me. And wealth and riches is in my house. My righteousness endures unto the upright. Theirs arises light in darkness. Jesus said this. He said, if you will follow me, he told the disciples. He said, if you will follow me, you will not walk in darkness. He said, but you will have the light of life. That means light comes in darkness. Did you see? I'm talking spiritually now. I seen that I was rich and I was broke, Eddie. And I went around for year after year, month after month, week after week, telling God, thank you, Lord, I'm blessed going in, blessed going out. Deuteronomy 28, blessed in the city and the field, Lord. I'm rich, Lord. One day I will be wealthy like your father, like your son Abraham. And and you know what? Even the richest man on the planet, Solomon, y'all remember him? God went to him and said, ask me what you want. He said, just I'll give you anything. And he said, Lord, give me wisdom to lead your people. He said, because you have asked this, I'm going to give it all to you. He was the wealthiest man on this planet or ever will be. Nobody going to ever be wealthy as Solomon. And God spoke to me through that, and he said, desire to raise up my kingdom. He said, and then the scripture Jesus wrote, he said, seek first the kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things will be added. He didn't say, Monty, we'll work 4 jobs for it. I'm not against working. I think if a man don't work, he don't eat. I think every man needs to be busy working. Well, I'm retired. Get busy in the kingdom. It don't retire. The kingdom don't retire. Work for the Lord. The Lord told me to give Travis a part of my business that I'd had for a long time when he got married. And I thought, oh, man, I can't afford that. I can't afford that. Has God ever asked you to give? Most of the time, you can't afford it. Right? Ask you to do something, I thought, oh, man, I'm going to lose that. I said, whatever you say, Lord, that's what I'm going to do. I gave him that business, and I don't think I've laid out from working that job free for 13 years. Because there have been 15. I go to work every time he goes to work up there at what I give him. I have worked free for 13 years. I'm telling you the honest to God's truth. Your praise and worship leader don't pay me nothing. Now that was my deal. And every time I go to work, I tell the Lord, well, Lord, I'm sowing today. I've did that for 13 years. Lord, I'm sowing my labor today. I'm going, Lord, and I'm working just like I'm getting paid. And you know what, praise God? God brings in major jobs. One job, I make as much off of that one job as I do in a full year. 2 days in a full year. Wealth and riches is headed your way if you believe the Word of God. Now, you've got whole internet. I got to stop that. You got a whole internet's built around against what I'm telling you. Whole websites built against it. They say it about Creflo Dollar. They say it about Kenneth Copeland. They say it about Moore Life Ministries. They say it about the ones that we gleaned off of coming up, and God would have them preaching, and we'd get that Bible, and we'd say it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible, God. They're saying that they're just after money. Maybe some of them was, maybe some of them wasn't, but the Word of God is the same. It don't change. Just because somebody gets in error, don't make it. My pastor got a little concerned about me one time, and because I got on this confession stuff every day, like telling God every day I wasn't doing it in church. I was doing it out there where there wasn't nobody but me and God. If He's real to you, then He's with you. Right? I don't need the church to get that. Right? God saved me. He saved you. So I had my pastor, well, now just be careful about that confessing stuff. Just be careful about it. He was concerned, man. And so I looked at him and I said, well, let me ask you a question, Pastor. I said, just because somebody don't abuses it, don't make it no good, does it? See, I got it out of the Bible, Eddie, where Paul says, as we have believed, we confess. We say it. We proclaim it. I'm not ashamed because I'm blessed. I served the Lord. I went through the fire, the flood. I made the mistakes. I got up and repented. And I told God, I went to the Word where Jesus said, no man, he covered everybody. He said, no man has put me first before mother, father, lands, brothers, sisters, for my sake in the Gospels, and lost anything. I turned to that when I was losing it all, Preston. When I thought, where's Travis and them going to live? They're on my property. Where are we going to have church at? Because I'm going to lose it all. The church, the lower building, my house and land that I live on, all my truck, everything I owned, I owed for. And I turned to that scripture, Preston, and I said, God, I said, Jesus said this. This is what I'm going to hold on to. And I went out of my house, Mac, with nothing but that word and didn't even really know if it would work or not. But I went out in my backyard. I meditated on that. That's why I can quote it to you, because I took that desperate time and I meditated on that till I knew it without going to the Bible. And I walked out in my backyard and I said, Satan, I said, let me tell you something. I said, I see stealing and killing according to John 10:10. I said, but I have put my life in the one that said I have life and have it more abundantly. And I declare to you today, if you have a calendar, I said it to him. I said, you mark it down on your calendar today. I lose nothing in Jesus' name. But God, it wasn't too long. I'm telling you this. See, this is not a story that I'm telling, Mac. This is the witness of the power of God. I didn't do it. I was behind. And so it wasn't too long. One job came up, and I'd tried to get many. I got that job done, and it completely caught us up, and we never got behind on another payment from that moment until now. That has been 14 years ago, I guess, 2007-8, when the economy failed. And God proved to me that if I would delight in His Word, if I would take it serious, and I would, Jesus said it this way, and I'm going to close. I didn't even get into my message, but this is some good stuff. Jesus said it this way. He said, pay attention to what you hear. He said, for the measure you use will be measured to you. He said, don't just hear it. He said, use it. Use my word. Use my authority. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, I just thank you, Lord. If there's anybody